We've got our normal 9 a.m. service here in Fremantle and the 11 a.m. service in Kwinana. So that'll be a good one to bring your family along and just to have an opportunity to hear what the Lord, how God loves them. Because really that's what it is, that God loves them. And so it's a great time to invite everybody to come over. Amen? Okay. So I experienced the highs and lows this week. So on Monday, the high was that we went to Mr. Elance and Buji's new restaurant called Stonewater on Canning Highway. And so this would be a good restaurant to go and visit, take your family there. And great experience. Mr. Elance there was just a wonderful presentation that they gave, and it was opened by the Premier of WA. You know, so it was a big deal. You know, and the most important and powerful thing about that was that he had said to all his friends and to all the other people that he does business with that I want to make sure that before we do anything, I want to make sure that we put God first and that there's a prayer at the beginning so that the place is Christianed in prayer. You know, and I thought, wow, that was wonderful. So I had the opportunity, of course, to go and to pray and to bless the work that they're doing. And so it's very good, you know. And I want to encourage not just him, but all our business owners. And I pray that, you know, I understand that margins are very tight for a lot of businesses now, slim margins. But I just want to pray a blessing that God would continue to bless you and would release cash flow into your businesses in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. The good thing about the Lord is that we can ask him those kind of things and he will help us. And so one of our friend, Mr. Christian, the big fella at the back there, he asked me probably 2-3 weeks ago, he says, look, I got a friend of mine who's unwell and he's in hospital. It would be good if we can go and see him. I said, all right, no problem. Just let me know, and then we can go. And so he calls me again, I think on Tuesday, and says, look, my friend has called for a pastor to come. Could you make some time to go see him? Not a problem. So that was this Tuesday. So on Wednesday, we went to visit his friend. And so we got there, and this man, you know, very wonderful man, who's known Christian for a long time, and Christian has known him. We went to their house, you know, went in and just sat with him and prayed. And unfortunately, this is a man who was terminally ill. You know, he's telling me that the doctor said there's nothing that we can do. I've stopped all the medication, and it's only now just a matter of time. And so I began to talk to him and say, so tell me, how are you processing all this? Because this is big stuff. You know, it's easy to die in an accident and you don't have to think about it. But when you're sick and have to think about it, and look, the good thing and the opportunity that we had is we're able to talk to him and pray with him and lead him to the Lord, you know, which was such a wonderful thing. And sadly, and I did ask Christian this before, Christian came and told me this morning that gentleman passed away this very morning. But it's never too late. He's MacGyvered it into heaven, you know? And so it doesn't matter as long as you get in, eh? You know, and really when we talk about stewardship as we're doing today, with our story of future, which is, you know, as we explained last week, that the building is an access point for people. And I believe that our lives are doorways for people. That whenever God wanted to do stuff in the world, he took things out of us to create them. So he gave us the tree, and so we thought, well, we need somewhere to sit. He didn't then come and recreate a chair for us or a bed for us to lie in, because after a while, I think it would have been hard to be sleeping in the caves or on the ground. He said, you know what, let's, maybe on leaves as well, let us make a bed. So we engineered the chair and the bed and the table out of the tree that God has given us. And so whenever God wants to do stuff with you, he's going to draw it out of you. The question for us is that, are we going to be willing to be that doorway that God can begin to draw things out of us? We know that if you own something, there are consequences of ownership. The consequence of ownership is that you got to look after stuff. So most of you people who are parents or you've got nieces and nephews, when you buy them stuff with your own money, they can be very flippant about the stuff that you buy them. They don't look after it because, my parents bought it for me, whatever. But the moment that they buy something with their own money, they really look after that stuff. They're polishing the shoes, wiping them down if they're white, just to make sure that they're clean. So there is consequences of ownership. And because of ownership, we know that, look, it's a given. You own a building, you're going to have to look after it. That's just a part of life. But I want us this morning to just focus as we look at our story, our future, and before we get into the offering a bit later on, is that stewardship, this is just more than the building, it's more than the maintenance. This is more about the stewardship of our lives. We want to make this bigger than just, of course, the money, the faith offering that's going to come through a bit later on. It is about how are we stewarding our lives. And so stewardship is one of the primary ways Christ calls us to live our life. And so what does that mean? Stewardship is a theme in the Bible that you can trace from beginning to the end, right from Genesis to Revelation. And it's a calling that is rooted in creation, highlighted throughout the Bible, and it influences the way you live your life for the glory of God. So I'm not just a steward when it comes to my money. There's a stewardship that it's so much bigger than that, and we don't want to minimize it only when it comes to these things of finances. And so we know that we got to look after, you know, make sure that the lights are on. Wasn't it cool to have those things swirling around this morning? You know, those new, it's a new thing. But it's about our faith saying, Lord, I'm coming to you today and I'm giving whatever the amount that you've decided to give. And I'm stepping out in faith so that this place continues to be an access point for people. My life continues to be a doorway for people to come to know you. Dare I say, if that man did not know Clarence, maybe by God's grace he would have not, if he did not know Mr. Clarence, if he didn't know Christian, he would have known somebody else. And also, it actually took some faith on his part. It actually took him not just saying, you know what, he's probably got a long way to go. But him saying, I'm going to do something about it. And his life has become a doorway for that other man. This is what stewardship is about. When we look at biblical stewardship, it's about everything that encompasses our whole life. Now, in the Greek, stewardship is called oikonomia. And it's broken up into two words, oikos, which means household, and nomos, which is law or rule. And really, when we look at it, if we break it down into the English, it's about administration or management. Now, we all know about administration and management because it's very easy when they talk about a government, they say the Albanese administration. Essentially, what they're saying is that it is the Albanese stewardship because they are stewards for the country. They're in charge, but it's not their stuff. And so we look at it and we say, there's stewardship. Everybody here knows that each time you get paid, the company has to pay superannuation 10.5%, the standard. Now, maybe if you work for the government and other places, they might be generous, they might give you 15%, probably 20%. Either way, they're paying superannuation. And what do they call those companies? They call them fund managers. They're just administrators of the money. It's in their name, but it's not their money. And so at the end of the term, at the end of the year, you probably get a statement that shows you on the 1st of July 2022, you had $100 and you put in $100 and we made $30 and we charged you $50 fees. You know, that's what it looks like most of the time, you know. But really, they're just stewards. That's what they are. They're just stewards. And you know, with stewardship, it's what we want from stewards is, are they meeting the objectives that they were given? The objectives for a superannuation fund is to create some returns which are more than the fees that you've earned, that they've charged you, so that you can hopefully have a very good retirement. And so a manager is somebody that is given responsibility to take care of something on behalf of someone else. That's what a manager is. If we look in Luke chapter 12, verse 42 to 43, this is Jesus speaking. And how do we know it's Jesus speaking? Sorry? Oh, very good. I don't know, it's interesting that in the Bibles they used to print about 10 years ago, whenever Jesus spoke, it would be in red. But I just looked at my Bible, it's in black, you know? Oh, anyway. And so, and here Jesus is teaching about, let us be ready for the coming of the Lord. And so he was just talking to them about, you know, the coming of the Lord. And he says this in verse 39, he says, understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And so Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. So when we look at our lives, we have to understand that we are mindful that Jesus is coming back. We are mindful that we are going to have to give an account for our lives, the stewardship over not just our finances, but just about our families, about just stuff that God has entrusted to us. We are going to have to give an account of that. Because the scripture goes on to say, because when you don't live with that in the back of your mind, guess what? You're going to party, and what the other servant was doing, he was just abusing the other staff because he thought, the master's not coming back. But we have to live as good stewards, knowing that we are going to have to give an account for the things that have been entrusted into our care. And so I just want to quote this. In an essay titled, Leadership is Stewardship, Bill Peel writes, we are all stewards of the resources, abilities, and opportunities that God has entrusted to our care. And one day, each one of us will be called to give an account for how we have managed what the Master has given us. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, we're not going to read through the whole thing, but you understand that was the parable of the talents. And so Jesus identifies the qualities of good stewards. He identifies those qualities, and he says, there were three stewards or managers. Each received an allotment of money to manage on behalf of the owner. And so the owner goes away and says, I'm going, but I'll be coming back. So two stewards invest their talents and double what they're given. So these, I think, they're good guys. They take what they were given, doubled it. The third manager digs a hole and goes about his own life. He disregards his job to properly caring for the owner's money. And then the master returns and says, all right, guys, give an account for what you have done with the things that were entrusted to you. And so he gives us, I think I want to talk about four qualities of a good steward. Number one, a good steward understands that they work for God. They're mindful that they work for God no matter the location. You might be at your job. You might be at home in all that you do. Now, whether you're young or old, if you're young, you recognize it now. Even if you're at school and you're doing your homework, it's not just so that your teachers can get off your back, but you're doing it as if you're doing it unto the Lord, even though it's helping you. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. This is what you have to understand, that I work for God. Because when you have that attitude, the way that you approach things completely changes. The way that you approach your job, the way that you approach your family changes. Because these are people that have been entrusted to you. The second quality of a good steward is accountability. They take care of the gifts God has given them to manage. And so what will we be held accountable for? Of course, those guys were held accountable for money. It could be for people that we're going to be held accountable to, for your family, your children, your spouse. Your relatives, your neighbors, your co-workers. The most important thing that we're going to be held accountable for is the stewardship of his kingdom. The stewardship of his kingdom. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter, let me turn over you, 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. This is Peter speaking, of course. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Our actions have eternal consequences. Your actions have eternal consequences. And so the way that we live, the way that we speak, should honor God's image in our lives. Because we are managers of the grace of God. We are stewards of the grace of God. Wherever we go, we are equipped, each of us in here, young or old. If you see a friend at school who's sick, you can say, you know what, can I pray for you? Normally they might say, ah, no. But on most occasions, people are very gracious. They'll say yes. Wherever we go, you see something, you're the ghostbuster. You're the one with the machine guns to do some stuff. You have been equipped. You don't have to wait and call for anybody else. You are equipped in the job. When you hear somebody sick, you say, look, let me just pray for you. It is up to God to heal. But you can stand in faith. Another quality of a good steward is that they're diligent, they're hardworking, and they take risks. They're diligent. These are the two guys. They took what they had, what they were given, and they put it to work. Now, this could be an area of skill or expertise. You are not expected to be diligent in an area that you don't know how to be diligent in, because otherwise that becomes very difficult to do. But in an area of skill They went and did what they could, and they doubled what they had. And the reason we know that they used this in an area of skill is because when the other guy hid his talent, the Lord said, you could have taken this money and put it with the bankers and earned some interest. So that means that you are going to be held accountable to the skills that God has given you, which means you have got to develop yourself so that you become an expert in that whatever field that the Lord has placed you in. It is your responsibility to develop yourself so that you can begin to have even greater impact. Amen? You are only going to be held accountable for what you've been given, not when somebody else has been given. Because I think what this does is that it stops us from comparing. Other people are specially gifted and been given great gifts, great intellect. Others not so much. They've got other gifts. So some were given, one was given 5, 2, and 1. Now, if I have a tub, like a bathroom tub, and then I have a bucket, and then I have a glass, and they're all full, what is the common thing that these three vessels have? They're all full. All of them are full. So the cup or the glass cannot say to the bucket, I'm really jealous that you're a bucket. It's just that, but he says, look, dude, you're full. And that's the thing that we need to understand is that I am going to be held accountable for what I've been given. If I've been given one, then guess what? I'm going to be diligent in that one. It doesn't mean the other person is better than you. Not at all. But guess what? My role is whatever gifts I've been given, it is my responsibility to maximize the output and outcomes of those gifts. And then lastly, stewardship opens doorways. Stewardship in our lives opens doorways. If we look at the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 41, Joseph went through a lot of terrible stuff. Eventually, Joseph got elevated to become the second in charge in Egypt. The interesting thing is that all through the way when he was suffering and facing hardship, he was faithful. He was a good steward in Potiphar's house. He was a good steward in the prison. And all that opened doorways for him to be the chief in charge of Pharaoh's stuff. It wasn't his stuff. It was Pharaoh's that he was managing. So you can see that because of his diligence, that stewardship continued to open doors for him up until he was the second in charge running the whole show in that country. But what I want to point out is that at least 66 people came from Israel to Egypt. This was the family, Joseph's father Jacob and his sons and the family. About 66 of them came. But understand how many people left with Moses when they left Egypt. Lots and lots of people. And Joseph did not get to the promised land, but they took his bones with him. His life became a doorway for God to move in. Your life is a doorway, whether it is to your family. So now you're going to view yourself differently. That, you know, I'm not just going to, whatever role you play in your family, whatever position that may be, you cannot view it the same anymore. You've got to view it differently, that, wow, I'm in this position where I can pray for this one, or I can intercede, I can do all these things, because your life becomes a doorway. The law of use says, excuse me, what you don't manage, you lose. You don't get to keep it, you lose it. And for me, stewardship is just more than when it comes to our finances, because it's easy to think about stewardship but with our finances, because you know what? And I understand that it's more easier to measure. Oh yeah, sure, I'm giving X amount. Cooler, you know, I'm a good steward. And then you give yourself a tick, which is all right. You know, you pay your bills and all of that. But I just think that it's God wants us to view stewardship with our whole lives, with the responsibilities that He has given each and every one of us. And this morning, as we, you know, as we give into this faith offering, I just want us to listen to how Jesus did it. Jesus, with His divine stewardship, which is clearly portrayed in His prayer to the Father as recorded in John 17. In verse 4, we see His goal, we see His stewardship. He says, "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do." In verses 6, 8, 9, 12, and 18, Jesus cites the methods and means, His leadership and service. "I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me, for I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them. I am praying for them. While I was with them, I kept them in Your name. And as You have sent Me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." The ultimate goal for all of us is to bring glory to the Lord with our lives, and that we bring everything that we are, not just our finances, but just everything, our whole lives. We want to be stewards, great stewards of the life that God has given us. And so this morning, as we prepare to give into this, our story of future offering, our faith offering, I want you to prayerfully reflect on this. And I'll just get everybody to stand this morning. If everything is the Lord's in your life, everything belongs to the Lord, you agree with that. And of course, if He is the master, you are managing stuff on His behalf, do you know what God expects of you in each area of your life? And I just want you to consider that you have to know the Master's instructions. You have to learn His desires for you. What does He want you to do? And I know that there's generalized things, but this, as you sow into our story of future this year, I'm praying that you would have a clarity of what God expects of you in each area of your life. And that is a question that I want you to ponder on and to think about and to prayerfully consider during the week. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord God, this morning, that You want to all of me. You want all of us, Lord God. You're not just interested in compartments of us. Lord, You want all of us, our whole life, our whole being. And Lord, I just pray for us today as C3 Fremantle. Lord, as Your people, that as we sow a faith offering, Lord God, a faith offering to You, Lord, as I just ask, Holy Spirit, that Father, we would have clarity, greater clarity in the areas of our lives, Father, where we have not been the best managers and the best stewards for our lives. That, Lord, You can highlight those areas to us so that we can bring You honor and glory. Father, I thank You for Your people. And that as they take this step of faith, that Lord, you will give seed to the sower. You are faithful in doing that. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would bless them in all that they do, in their coming in and their going out. Let them excel, Father, in the area of skill and gifting that you have given them. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And so what we're going to do this morning is that as we do every year, you can have a minute or two to just, as you're ready, just come and just place your story of future card, your faith offering in the basket, and then we're going to sing. And then if you need any prayer, I'll be here gladly and willing to pray for you. Amen. Let's give.